Hey everybody, welcome to Ref Time, powered by RTS and produced by Coraggio Media. I'm Tanya.
And I'm Crane. We'll be covering rules, plays, points of emphasis, and all things official. And we're in the studio again for Ref Time with the great Virgil Tharp. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm blessed.
Yes, we all are.
Very much so.
Well, glad, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. You're a busy man. Hard to get a hold of.
You know, I keep my feet to the streets.
All right. We're going to, you know, Tanya and I were talking about it a little bit before we got here, and she was saying, okay, well, exactly what we're going to talk to Virgil about, because this is all things official. And I'm going, he's the AD of ADs.
Right.
He's so. Got the major opinion or the thought process of officials.
Yes. So I like to say I support athletics throughout the district.
Yeah.
So let's start there then. What exactly do you do? Because first time you told us what you did, I was blown away with your title. So tell everybody what you do, Virgil.
Well, official title is FWCS District Athletic Director. My role has expounded over the years. This is my fifth full year in this position. Before me, there wasn't anyone overseeing athletics in general outside of an AD for a particular school.
So, Teltha, why did they create that position? Why was there a need for an athletic director of athletic directors in Fort Wayne Community Schools?
Very good question. Because it has been neglected for a very long time. I would say in the 90s, there was a lot of prominent programs throughout Fort Wayne Community Schools,
mm-hmm.
Historic coaches, great athletes.
Mm-hmm.
But then a lot of focus went to the academic piece, to where a lot of our resources and times was trying to bridge the gap for a lot of our kids.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our schools were not grading out well. So athletics in general didn't become an afterthought, but it wasn't a priority. With my position, and I was brought in by Dr. Robbins. She's a former athlete as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, athletes understand the importance of school-based athletics.
Mm-hmm.
It can change the atmosphere in a school.
Mm-hmm.
It could destroy atmosphere in a school.
Mm-hmm.
So those things really became our focus, and that was, first of all, changing the mindset of a student athlete, and that you are a student then an athlete, but then collectively changing the word from what most people will say extracurricular. That's a big no-no. Mm-hmm. It's all co-curriculars. We are an extension of the classroom. We understand in America, 70% of executives play high school sports.
Mm.
If, with that being the case, what does athletics do? It builds character, builds leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You understand how to work in a unit. You understand how to follow. So there are a lot of skills associated with athletics that is very important for the development of all people.
Mm-hmm.
So because we weren't providing as much attention to it, it started to lack. So in the past 5 years, there have been a lot of changes supporting athletics,
mm-hmm.
The infrastructure, allowing, making sure our athletic departments have the things that they need, the people they need.
Mm-hmm.
But we are still behind, and we're right now, we're catching up, but we're still behind.
Now, when you say you're behind, in particular, what ways are you behind? What does that mean?
As simple as our weight rooms. Ironically, when I went to Wayne, when I first got hired in this position, went to the weight room. I graduated from Wayne High School.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the weight room, and I noticed those are the same weights that I lifted when I was at Wayne High School when I graduated in 98.
Mm.
Wow.
So a lot of our athletic departments had to fend on their own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we rely a lot on revenue from our game sales, mm-hmm. and ticket sales for us to bring in money. We do fundraisers. We do multiple things just to try to allow our kids the opportunity to have the real good things.
Now you said that a lot of athletic departments would depend, they had to fend for themselves and raise their own dollars because of the reasons you said. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, though, but haven't ticket sales gone down over the years because people aren't attending as many contests?
in the conversations I have with our ADs, it's more of if we want people to come to our games, mm-hmm. we have to have prominent programs. If you win, people will come.
Amen.
That's true.
If you compete, people will come.
And if you don't, they won't.
Right.
They will look on YouTube and find a different stream, or they will go to a different game.
Right.
Because there's a lot of schools in the system that, I shouldn't say a lot, but there's a few schools in the system I've heard from players now and students that, I'll just say it nicely, they would rather not attend those schools because their athletics is not where they think it should be. And that's a real thing.
Yes, it is.
Among the students.
Mm-hmm. That's some of the reasons why kids transfer out mm-hmm. of district, as yep. well as some kids transfer into the district.
Right.
Our goal is to make our programs more prominent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just the wins and the losses. It's the
right.
substance within the program.
Correct, mm-hmm. yeah.
And that stems from our coaches,
mm-hmm.
Empowering student athletes in development and mm-hmm. leadership, not just physical
right.
development.
Right.
So our kids can become advocates for the school.
Now, you said something interesting earlier. You said, and maybe I wrote this down wrong. You mm-hmm. said 70% of American corporate executives played high school athletics?
Correct.
Wow. I never heard that statistic before. Did you hear that before, Tanya?
I knew it was a high number. I didn't know specifically, but yeah.
I think that's a thing most people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That they work,
some type of yeah. athletic.
Right. So wherever most people work, their bosses played high school sports.
Mm-hmm. More than likely.
And
so I know that you know, because we are officials, I know one of the small changes that you guys made this year was with your middle school program.
Mm-hmm.
In our the seventh grade division, it used to be that seventh grade would just play 2 5-minute quarters, and
yes.
it would, you know, and then we'd jump right into the eighth grade. The change this year was now we're doing 4 5-minute quarters with the seventh graders. Mm-hmm. There's still it's still a, hey, let's get them going type of
yes.
atmosphere, though, because, you know, the eighth grade game. We've got to get to the eighth grade game because the officials that are yes. working those games have probably JV or varsity games to get to
at the
high school level. Mm-hmm. And so even though you've made that small change, it's still kind of a let's get through it type
yeah.
of thing, and more of, you know, where I know you want to get it to where it's, hey, let's play a seventh grade game. We're not in any big hurry.
Yeah.
We can, you know, play it. Then we can go into the eighth grade game, and people can get where we need to get to. But it is nice to see
mm-hmm.
that we're doing the 4 5-minute quarters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I enjoy it. I don't mind it.
Right.
But at the same time, I am like, I do have somewhere
yeah.
I need to be.
Yeah.
So we do need to finish up here by, 3:50, I think.
Yes,
and
3:50 is the cutoff time
yep.
to get the other game
and
started.
And then, and some of the ADs or the coaches were like, "Oh no, we've got time." No. It says we're supposed to be done by 3:50
yes.
and have that next game ready to start by 4:00.
That's the competitiveness in those adults.
Yes, yeah, and so, you know, I think we had one game. I think it ended in a tie.
Right.
And
yeah.
so there's no overtime
right.
with the seventh
yeah.
grade matchup. Now the eighth grade, if they go into overtime, we play it. But that's one definite good change that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you are working on other ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right now, well, my first years have been super focused on high school.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to level the playing field at all of our 5 schools. Now the focus is on elementary and middle. If we really want to grow our athletic programs, we have to expose our student athletes to different offerings.
Mm-hmm.
And something as simple as having a JV game at the middle school level. Now, because our female athletes are depleting. I mean, they're aren't mm-hmm. as prevalent as in years past or in the 90s or whatnot. A large part to the specialization of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Our kids typically, especially our girls, only pick up a ball once a year.
Right.
you know, AAU is very expensive, time consuming. If you don't have the resources or the time, you know, the recreational ball player is no longer around anymore. And so if we want to grow and encourage and empower our, especially our female athletes, we have to devote or give them opportunity to play the game, practice. And it can't just be the modified in 5 minutes, 10 minute game and you're done.
Not so gonna learn much.
No. So we're trying to allow the experience to be better. Have had a lot of positive feedback from the shift. And we're looking at other ways for volleyball, how we can really the lower levels or the sixth and seventh graders, how can we keep them engaged, develop them, and then set them up for varsity or the eighth grade year. And hopefully they can transfer all their talents to the high school level and not be so discouraged because, you know, some people have been playing basketball since they're three and I just started.
Virgil, what would you say is the most, right now, what's the most popular sport that you guys are seeing in Fort Wayne Community Schools?
It will definitely be football.
Not soccer?
Football, you don't get cut in football. Oh, it's more inclusive.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Soccer, you're limited to a certain amount of people on the team. Now, we still will have roughly at the varsity level, anywhere from 20, 25 soccer players on the team, where right now we're looking at football. You have hundreds of kids out there.
Right.
You know, from freshman to varsity. It's a lot more popular, but I would say soccer is definitely growing. Northrop had a phenomenal soccer team this year. They did very well. But we're seeing a lot of our Spanish-speaking families really taking over the soccer piece. Our Burmese families are highly engaged to where the traditionally the black or white students playing football. We're seeing that second language families playing soccer, and they're doing very well.
Well, so, in their countries, they called it football.
Football, yes.
How did you feel, and what do you see going forward with the boys volleyball at the varsity level?
It is definitely going to take off. This past year was their first year. The state allowed for, or they're adding girls wrestling for Title IX purposes. Also, they're adding a male sport, and that's men's volleyball. I didn't expect so much participation. So we just did a trial run. Like if kids are interested, we're thinking about hosting this men's volleyball team or boys volleyball team. And all of our high schools had 20 and plus kids show up, compete, had a small sectional. And throughout the state, the numbers are so overwhelming that they're going to make it a sanctioned sport along with girls wrestling.
So it's not sanctioned yet?
Not yet.
Girls wrestling, is that sanctioned yet?
No.
That is weird to us. We're going to gyms and we're doing basketball and volleyball. We look up on these walls and these banners and they've got the seniors, girls.
Yes.
And it's three or four of them that are wrestlers. I'm standing there trying not to look at that while I'm looking at the flag for the national anthem. I'm going, they got five girls up there, four girls. It's nice to see. It's a nice change. Because most people don't think girls should be in that kind of sport. But
well, you say that to the wrong girl, you might get a photo.
Right?
She might tackle me. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'll show you what a wrestler does.
So, that's pretty neat. I didn't even think about asking about wrestling because, you know, I mean, we officiate the volleyball side. So that's what made me think about the boys playing volleyball because we'll be going into that season. Here in the next next month.
Now that's interesting when you talk about wrestling because that made me think these additional sports, which is wrestling and boys volleyball, you guys are already we're already short on officials.
Right.
All he does is smile on that. So and that's what we've been talking to you about. How can we as a training school, how can we help address that? Because the need for officials is just gonna get exponentially larger.
Right.
Yes.
So what kind of ideas do you guys have to get officials for your boy. Well, boys volleyball, you pretty much using the same officials you use for girls, right?
Right. Yeah.
What about wrestling? Is that bring any different needs?
No, the same officials will be there. I mean, the good thing with wrestling, it's all during the same time, both boys and girls.
Oh, okay.
Which is also beneficial for volleyball because girls play in the fall, the boys would play in the spring. So it won't put so much of a burden on you all, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. No, I love it. I love, you know, now I love it because I'm like, oh, I'm a three-season official now. So, you know, I'm doing the fall, I'm doing the winter, and then I go into the spring. So, and then we get the summer where we do a lot of the summer stuff, club volleyball and AAU basketball, which we've kind of, you know, pulled away from AAU basketball. We don't do as much of that anymore. But
that brings up another conversation. So your fans, your parents, and as officials, when we have to deal with unruly parents, unruly coaches, people who are less than happy about what they're seeing, and it doesn't matter what event they go to, they're going to act like that anyway. What kind of things are you guys doing to address, and I know you have to, because you guys are concerned about the lower level developing, so you got to deal with these crackpot parents who come in, and some of them are fans, and some of them are coaches. What do you guys, what kind of plans do you have to deal with that unruliness?
For one, we set the standard before each game, a sportsmanship statement, an expectation. The biggest thing is making sure that we follow through and don't hesitate to interact with people who know they shouldn't be acting a certain kind of way.
Correct.
I've brought in, along with our security director, multiple parents, you know, and letting them understand, or giving them, really explaining how their behavior disrupts the school. With the IHAA, especially at the high school level, if someone is removed, that goes against the school sportsmanship. And so, and I remember speaking with a father one time, he had no clue of that. And I told him, hey, the team that we have right here is very special. You are disrupting them so much that it's disrupting your son. It's embarrassing for him. So really having those real conversations, and instead of just saying, oh, you're bad, you're out. Let's have some dialogue here. Your student goes to our school. You probably have more than one student that will be going through the school. Let's build on this relationship. And you could be an advocate for us compared to their own bashing us and saying, well, this school kicked me out because, and they don't know what they're doing. Have a conversation. Make sure we're following through. But making sure that those statements of what we expect in these buildings are being said.
So you guys are not only having to educate your students, you're having to educate the parents from time to time.
Definitely. I know in our elementary basketball, we had a couple parents that just acted a fool. Had to remove them. So now in return, and trying to be proactive, a lot of our elementary schools are, they're locked. I mean, if this is the basketball court, this is, I'm the parent. I'm on top of it. That's a safety concern for myself. And even if, you know, a kid falls over, but all it takes is one irate parent that comes out of that. And they have. So now we are moving those elementary games to larger venues.
Like at the middle schools. Okay, cool.
So this will be our first year doing that. And we're focusing more on development compared to competition. So we're taking the score away from the elementary games, and put some more concrete rules to make sure that everyone understands this is not wins and losses. This is not beat somebody till they're blue in the face. We're trying to encourage students to keep on playing. And time and time again, you'll see people tallying up the score, but to combat that, we have an end of year tournament that allows them to compete at a higher level, and you can opt in, because some schools know they're can't compete at a certain right. level. Mm-hmm. It's not about embarrassing kids. Mm-hmm. We want mm-hmm. to keep them engaged and learning, more importantly.
We did get a call from an elementary teacher recently, and she asked if, well, she actually contacted us before Christmas, asked us okay. to keep her in mind. So we'll be getting back to her this week. And yeah, Tanya just give me that eye like we gotta cut it off. So
I saw that too.
Yeah, you saw that look. I get that look often. But thank you. We appreciate it. Yeah. We got to have you back.
Please come back.
We got to have you back.
I
think
it'd
be a good idea to have him back, because as the development is coming along, we can kind of get back together again and talk about the progress you guys have made. So we appreciate you, man.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much.
And Tanya, we're going to go ahead and make announcements about what we have coming up.
All right. So we've got some Ref Training School coming up, reftrainingschool.com. You can check that out. We will be posting those dates and venues soon. So we look forward to bringing anyone that is interested in becoming a basketball or volleyball official, get you guys trained, get you on court training, and go from there.
And we do also have a next date announced for the Hoosier 3-on-3, and that is coming up on the first day of
Three Rivers Festival,
which will be July 12th, which is a Friday.
Yep.
So we'll be doing a 3-on-3 event at Turnstone on that date. So look forward to seeing that on the website, Hoosier3on3.com. And with that, we're going to go ahead and check out and welcome you guys to another segment of Ref Time next week. So thanks for joining us, and say goodbye to the great Virgil Tharp. We got to get that sound system in so we can clap with people and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on, Virgil. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Take care, everybody. Thanks again for listening to Ref Time, powered by RefTrainingSchool.com and Hoosier3on3.com. Produced by Caraggio Media, Ref Time is recorded in WELT Studios in beautiful downtown Fort Wayne, Indiana.
To join RTS, visit RefTrainingSchool.com. Please like, subscribe, and share with your friends.
Until next time.